Welcome to Today on Broadway for Wednesday, July 27th, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Star's James Marino.
James, happy anniversary.
Really? What anniversary is this?
I don't know if it's you and your wife's anniversary, but this is our 100th show. This is our 100th Today on Broadway.
What'd you get me?
A 100th episode of Today on Broadway.
Oh, you shouldn't have.
Yeah, but it seems crazy. I went back and counted today because I knew it was coming up. And we started back in March doing these things five-ish days a week. Pretty much we've had every weekday. And when we had holidays, we threw in some interviews, which we didn't count. But this is kind of exciting. It's a milestone for us.
I can't believe it's 100 shows. I don't feel one show over 80. All right. So let's get on to the news. Theater titan James Niederlander passes away.
Yeah, it's been a rough week, but according to New York Post's Michael Riedel, the legendary theater owner and producer James M. Jimmy Niederlander passed away on Monday night at the age of 94. I think I first kind of got word of this because Andrew Lloyd Webber tweeted out something saying, "Rest in peace, Jimmy," and then this official word came out a little bit later. The company that bears his family name owns major theaters around the world, including 9 on Broadway, including the famed Palace Theater, the Richard Rogers, the Gershwin, and of course the Niederlander. After purchasing the Palace for $1.6 million in 1965, which seems like the greatest investment in the history of New York City, the first major show that James Sr. invested in was Annie back in 1977, which he did sight unseen just because he wanted to work with the show's producer, Mike Nichols. Which obviously that ended up being a pretty good investment as well. James, between the Niederlanders and the Schuberts, without them, Broadway as we know it today wouldn't be what it is. And he leaves behind a hugely important organization that is still run by his family. And the contributions that James Niederlander made to the Broadway community and the theatrical community worldwide, because we've talked about his theaters out on the West Coast as well before. It really is a remarkable thing, and it is a tremendous legacy for him to leave to his family and to the Broadway community.
Absolutely. There are some will argue that there would be no Broadway without the Niederlanders, so this is quite a milestone. All right. An American Paris moves up their closing date.
Yeah, it's speaking of the Palace Theater that we just mentioned about with the Niederlanders. But last month, the producers of An American in Paris announced that it would close on January 1st of 2017. But after not receiving the summer bump at the box office that it was hoping for, the show announced yesterday that it would in fact now close on October 9th, ahead of a national tour scheduled to launch less than a week later on the 14th. Congratulations to everyone over at the Palace for a Tony-winning year-and-a-half run. I'm looking forward to seeing the show when it's on tour down here in December. And, James, I know this wasn't your favorite, but as far as I'm concerned, anytime Gershwin music gets a place on the Broadway stage or any stage, I'm a huge fan and proponent of that. And, like I said, I'm really excited to see what they've made of this show.
I'm getting a cold chill up my spine because shows like An American in Paris that win Tony Awards and had such great reviews are not supposed to close. And I'm very concerned over biz in general on Broadway. I hope that this is just an anomaly that we're having all these shows that should be hits closing up shop.
Yeah, we talked about it. You know, we basically talk about it every week with the grosses. It's just a weird thing right now where, unlike in the past when shows like Wicked or The Book of Mormon seemed, or even the producers, you know, seemed to boost up a lot of other shows, Hamilton seems to be absorbing all of the goodwill, the press, and the money. Obviously, there are other shows that are doing very well. We're not saying it's the only one, but shows that usually got, you know, maybe it was the third or fourth show that people saw on their week trip. People are saving up just to afford tickets to Hamilton, and I'm not blaming Hamilton, obviously, for the closing of An American in Paris, but it just seems like the landscape is much different this season than it has been in recent memory, and I don't know how long that goes back, but it does seem weird. It seems weird that An American in Paris is closing after only a year and a half.
It really does. I think that we're going to, you know, I threatened this before. We're going to have to bring on Oliver Hendry and talk about some number crunching and see if there's any trends or information that he can shed upon this to, give us an insight as to maybe another reason other than the obvious of why so many shows are closing. All right. Himself and Nora also announced a closing off-Broadway.
Yeah, yesterday the producers of the off-Broadway musical Himself and Nora announced that the show would close on August 6th after playing 97 total performances at the Minetta Lane Theater. James, I think both Peter and Michael really liked the show when they reviewed it on This Week on Broadway, so if folks haven't seen it, they have just a couple of weeks to check it out in person, but with the closing announcement, we also learned that they would be recording a Live from Minetta Lane cast album, which is pretty cool. Not a lot of shows do that. I can only think of a few, maybe other than the encores. I think Brooklyn did it. So you don't get a lot of live cast albums. So that's a lot of fun. No word on when it's going to be released, but I've made my my appreciation for the singing and acting chops of the show, one of the show's stars, Whitney Basher, very public. And so this will be one that I will be getting and diving into very quickly.
All right. Next up, Jason Robert Brown's new musical gets a reading.
Yeah, last week, Jason Robert Brown and playwright Jonathan Mark Sherman had a workshop of the first draft of their new musical, The Connector. Directed by JRB's longtime friend and collaborator Daisy Prince, the week-long workshop included Keala Settle, Hannah Elise, Jessica Mulaski, Jessica Vox, and our friend James Andrew Kober. The show was originally scheduled to debut in Chicago in either the 2011 or 2012 seasons, but that obviously never materialized. At that time, press notes said that the show was, quote, about journalism, the lack of integrity that afflicts the media in the current age, and the advent of reporters who make up news. I will try not to take offense to that. James, JRB is a friend or at least an acquaintance, a good acquaintance of yours, and you know how intelligent and politically and socially engaged he is, so I'm interested to see what his take is on modern media and how news and journalism has changed over the years, and this is a show that I think this is one that a lot of people are going to want to dive into in a very meaty way.
Well, anytime Jason has got something on a stage, I want to go see it immediately. And down at New York Theater Workshop, Jason and Daisy had a nice little party. And he talked about how this is the first time in over 5 years he put a totally new theatrical piece in front of actors and asked them to bring it to life. So I'm really excited about this. And I'm more excited that Jason is not discouraged with the lack of a financial success of some of the shows that have happened, but more power to him. Keep going, Jason. All right. Fun Home in Orlando raises six figures for charity. This is a great story.
Yeah, we obviously I've been talking about it quite a bit because it's where I live, and also I got to be there for some of the concert stuff. But it was announced that the Fun Home concert benefit down here at the Dr. Phillips Center for the Performing Arts on Sunday night raised $113,000 in ticket sales and additional donations, all in support of Equality Florida and the LGBTQ community of Orlando. And also some of that money will be specifically earmarked to benefit the survivors and victims and, of course, their families from the horrific June 12th Pulse nightclub shootings. It was really a special event, and it was weird these last two nights to see Fun Home down here in a very somber is not the right word, but the show itself is fairly serious, and they came down with a very heavy heart. And the first thing that Lisa Crone said to the audience during this Fun Home concert when she got up to introduce it, she just said, "We're sorry." And so there was a very emotional note to that. And then the following night, we had all these incredible Broadway stars. And I noted just from the time that they started walking in the room, when Cheetah, who was the first person to walk into the press room, it was joyous and it was a celebration of life. So it was a very interesting dichotomy between these two bookend events that really encapsulated the grieving process that people down here in Orlando have been going through for the past month and a half. So congratulations to everybody involved. I appreciate it from somebody who lives here in Central Florida, and it really is encouraging to see how much the Broadway community is compelled to give back and to show people that they are supported and they are loved, whether they're directly involved or not.
This is a a great way to show our support for everybody. And as you mentioned yesterday in the show, the DVD is going to come out of the concert. And there are still ways that you can make a direct donation down there. So yeah. Hopefully we have shown that Broadway cares about Orlando just as much as Orlando cares about Broadway. Yeah. If I were to tell you that Jennifer Ashley Tepper, if I were to tell you that Jennifer Ashley Tepper three-peated, would you know what I mean?
I would, but I am a sports fan, so I know the vernacular of the three-peat. I also know who owns the copyright. So, you know, that's a whole other story. Sports and intellectual property discussions. This is really off the trails on our 100th episode, James. But anyway, back to Jen Tepper, because yesterday we found out that our friend and idol Jennifer Ashley Tepper announced that the third volume, hence three-peat, of her Untold Stories of Broadway series would be released on November 15th, just in time for the holiday season. And it will focus on the Broadhurst, Belasco, Edison, Lyric, Majestic, Schoenfeld, St. James, and Walter Kerr theaters. James, these books have become must-reads for Broadway fans. And I think that what she does with these books and then the programming that she does at 54 Below, I really think that Jen Tepper has revitalized the passion for theater history amongst the Broadway community. We always have been people who loved cast albums, and we dive into those show notes and see whatever we can learn from those. But she's taken it to the next step with these books, and really for the appreciation of the buildings and the history that these buildings hold and the place they play in the evolution of Broadway. So anytime she puts out one of these books or comes up with a creative new concert, I really appreciate the contribution she makes to the shared history of the Broadway community.
Don't you think she should be the person that opens the new Hudson, the new old Hudson Theater?
I think that would be fantastic. I think she should, you know, do a ribbon cutting or something at least.
Even if they don't let her do it, we can just go out there in front of it and cut the ribbon with her.
We'll hold it on each side. We'll get her a big pair of scissors and she can cut it, and we'll get someone to take a picture so it looks really official.
Awesome sauce. All right, why don't you get us out of here?
All right, thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio, and you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt, and subscribe to Some Like a Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. And as we did with the Fun Home interviews, in your podcast feeds as we speak, there is also another special episode with all of the interviews I did from the From Broadway with Love concert from the Dr. Phillips Center. Cheetah Rivera, Brian Stokes Mitchell, Norbert Leo Butts, Kelly O'Hara, Darren Chris, Lilla Crawford, Anika Larson, and Carrie Manilakis. A really, really fun 25, 30 minutes of listening from some super compassionate, super loving, super genuine people. I enjoyed it. I hope you guys do as well.
That's just super. All right. My name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thank you so much for spending the beginning of your Wednesday with us, and we will come back and see you tomorrow.